it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The attack on the bridge. And this is what, first of all, there is no need to cross the bridge.
No, they're only there to blow it up.
They're only there to blow it up, but the Spanish, having been humiliated by the British and not getting there first of their own damn fault, decide that they're going to go across the bridge and, you know, see if there are French to engage. And there is like a small French skirmish party, but obviously to keep up appearances, Simerson also has his men sent across as well. And before you know it, the Spanish fire some panicking shots, the French cavalry come in, and the Spanish rout, start falling back. That breaks the British column. And the entire thing just turns into an absolute disaster. Major Lennox, an old a veteran soldier, who Sharp knew from the Battle of Issei, is fatally wounded in it, of course. And he, and also as well, there's a real tragedy with his character as well, because he was retired. Mm. He'd retired. He'd done it all. He'd got the medals and all of the renown of being a good soldier. He was regarded as a truly great soldier. But his wife passed away and life felt empty for him. And so he thought, well, why not just go and serve my country one last time? And go and fight in the Peninsular War.
At a place called Issei, I saw a whole army ready to run. Then a major of the 78th took a step to his front and steadied the line. That's him. Major Lennox, 78th Highlanders.
And obviously, due to the incompetence of many people around him, he ends up losing his own life in this foray. Mm. And Sharp obviously ends up leading a rescue mission to try and save as many people from the other side of the bridge as he possibly can. And this results in Simerson panicking, blowing up the bridge, defying Hogan's telling him, no, we're going to leave all our men on the other side. And Simerson has a bridge blown up. And so Sharp is stuck on the other side of the bridge with the French bearing down on him. And there's a second wave of the attack. Yeah. And they bring up that enormous gun. I can't quite remember what it's described as, but it's a big gun that's been dragged by horses.
I think it's only a 4-pounder.
It's a small one. Oh, but right. In between the two waves, the French officer comes down to speak with Sharp.
Yes.
And they're basically like, yeah, these guys, am I right?
Yeah, they do.
they have a really civil chat. Like, yeah, unfortunately, we're stuck with these incompetent idiots.
Like, you've got a bad colonel.
Yeah.
Yeah, the French.
Yeah, we do.
And they basically go, yeah, you can surrender or we're going to come and fight. So treat your wounded as soon as possible and or get back across the river.
Yeah.
So a number of things about this is, the whole book is called Sharp's Eagle, right? So it's the one bit and it's the crux of the whole story in a way, but it's a little bit tenuous. Who am I to criticise Bernard Cornwell's storytelling ability? But the whole point of it is that there's this officer called Lennox who, in some of the books that are set before this, he's in them and stuff. But you only meet him briefly in this book.
Mm.
And he gets wounded or gets like a fatal wound. in that first wave.
Yeah.
And as he's dying, he asks, and Sharp has lost the colour. Well, Simonson has lost the colour, the battle flag, the British battle flag.
But Sharp managed to save the regiment's colours.
Yeah.
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 The French have made off with the king's colour, okay, which is like one of the most terrible possible fails imaginable.
The ultimate prize for the French cavalry is to, that as soon as they see what's happening, they're like, okay, let's just get the colour and go.
So our battle standard would be the colour, the regimental and or king's colour. Their version of that is an eagle. So a standard with an eagle on top of it. Yeah. Very, very reminiscent of a Roman eagle. Mm. I mean, that was deliberately Napoleon did that. Before the Napoleonic era, the French didn't have that. They had a tricolour. They would have a flag. But Napoleon changed it after the imperial period to this eagle.
Right.
Okay, right. So, and as Lennox is dying, he says to Sharp, this is a little bit, it takes you out of the of it a bit because it's kind of unbelievable. It's a bit just, anyway, he says to Sharp, I want you to get me an eagle. I'm dying. I'm going to die. And my dying wish is that you, Sharp, get a French eagle. I mean, and Sharp's under no obligation to do that.
No.
He could easily just go, yeah, okay, mate. Yeah, sure thing. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, right. As if. Or just said, no, I can't do that. That's a crazy thing to ask of me. But he's basically just said, yeah, all right, I will.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually, this is one of those moments where I do really want to compare the novel to the TV film.
Yeah, maybe.
Because they're very differently treated. They're treated very, very differently. First of all, in the film, Sharp doesn't make the promise to Major Lennox.
No, yeah, he's very deliberately just doesn't say anything.
So
yeah.
He just sort of dies. Yeah.
And then goes on to obviously see an opportunity to do it, kind of has a window, and then ends up doing it, and that's all very wholesome. And because, you know, Major Lennox was a great man, he answered with his life, and he deserved it. But on the other hand here, I really like how compelling and how obvious Cornwell makes the stakes of this promise. First of all, obviously, the thing is that the fact that, look, it is obviously Simonson's fault and the fault of the Spanish, but the fact of the matter is that the regiment lost the King's colours. And so this is a stain on them. This is a stain on, Cornwell marks this as well, and this is one of the points about Sharp. Sharp is not actually, as a character, a very patriotic man. He doesn't do all of this because he loves the king and he loves his country. He loves home. He likes England for its homeliness, but he doesn't have the same sort of like patriotism that, say, Harper has for his country. What you know is like impassioned Sharp is the not the pride for the country, but the pride for the regiment, the pride for the South Essex, the pride for the 95th Rifles, the pride for the men around him. Mm-hmm. And in the men losing the colours, this is such an act of disgrace against the regiment itself. And so it's not just Sharp trying to gain an eagle touched by the hand of Bonaparte himself so that he can, fulfill this promise to Major Lennox. It's also about regaining the honour of the regiment itself.
Mm. Yeah, there's also the fact that post this battle, the blame, Simonson attempts to shift the blame for this entire affair,
yes,
rather unsuccessfully, I might add, onto Sharp. But that blame is hanging over Sharp's head like the sword of Damocles the entire film.
Yeah.
So, film, book,
yeah.
Both. So it's not only him trying to regain honour, his very position or role in the army is potentially in danger, as he keeps remarking, being sent to, I think, to the West Indies. Basically, if you...
Die. Yeah. It's basically, you'll go to the West Indies, you'll capture a tropical disease and you'll die.
So
that's really what would happen.
It becomes... Not only is he saving his honour and his fellow compatriots' honour, it's about also saving himself.
Mm.
So this is a matter of life or death.
His own career, everything he's ever fought for, the entire road to get to where he has now.
So there's two things. There's one, this promise to Lennox to get an eagle to make up for the loss of the King's colours. And secondly, that he wants a promotion, and the only way to realistically get that is to do something insanely brave.
Because he's poor and can't afford
it. He has to get a promotion on merit, which is insanely difficult for an enlisted man to get to captain. But if he got an eagle, that would do it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's this one paragraph here, if I read it. The first raised was the King's colour, a great Union Jack with the regiment's number in the centre, and the next the South Essex's own standard, a yellow flag emblazoned with the crest of the Union flag stitched in the upper centre. It was impossible to see the flags, the morning sun shining through them, and not be moved. Impossible to see them and not be moved. They were the regiment. Should only a handful of men be left on a battlefield, the rest slaughtered, the regiment still existed if the colours flew and defied the enemy. They were a rallying point in the smoke and chaos of battle. But more than that, there were men who would hardly fight for England's king and country, but they would fight for the colours, for their regiment's honour, for the gaudy flags that cost a few guineas and were carried in the centre of the line by the youngest ensigns and guarded by veteran sergeants armed with long, wicked bladed pikes. Sharp had known as many as 10 men to carry the colours in battle, replacing the dead, picking up the flags, even though they knew that they became the enemy's prime target. Honour was all. The colours, the flags, sort of, and again, like a French eagle or a Roman eagle, it's difficult to underestimate, I think, how important they were to some men. There's lots of examples, even from the ancient world, where loads and loads of men would fight and die almost hopelessly to save or win an eagle the king's colours. There's a famous painting about, Afghanistan, like dying for the king's colours. In some of the South African campaigns, there's all sorts of actions and encounters went on in and around the colours. But in loads and loads of battles and wars, there's like the enemy's battle standard.
Yeah.
If you can get that, sometimes that wins the battle.
Right.
Sometimes the other side's morale breaks if you capture their colours or their eagle, whatever it is. Their battle standard of one type or another.
Yeah.
Well, it's that important.
Mm. They comment, don't they, on the fact that they know exactly after the French take the king's colours, they know exactly what happens next. Those king's colours get taken back to Paris. They get paraded through the street and all the Parisians get to say, oh, aren't we the greatest? And basically have a good gloat about how bad the English are, right? That's what happens. And that shame of it does really personally affect the men.
Yeah.
They've allowed that thing to happen, you know? And so, it's really, really grievous. And obviously we get to the point...
Sorry, one question.
Yeah.
So Sharp says to Lennox, basically, he doesn't actually promise him, I don't think, even in the book, if I recall, but he sort of basically says, yes, all right, I'll try and get an eagle for you, which is a crazy thing to promise. It's something you would never, ever, ever promise that, because it's just a million to one that you'd ever be in a position to even attempt it, let alone successfully do
it. Yeah.
Right. So, okay, all that happens, and then the noble French officer gives him an hour to clean up his... The Gibbons shouts across the river because Sharp and the survivors are on the wrong side of the river after Simpson blew the bridge up. And Gibbons comes along and says, you're under arrest and hand over your sword. And Sharp's like, what are you even talking about? What are you even talking about? Get lost. And then so the French bring a cannon up and there's a second engagement. But because Sharp's actually not just a brave man, a brave fighter, brave soldier, but also got an eye. He sort of understands tactics and stuff. He puts Harper out, hides him, and they flank the cannon and get the cannon and defeat the French in that second attack.
Yes.
So, okay.
No, it's incredible. I mean, it just goes to show what a natural intuition Sharp has. He's a genuine, ingenious soldier, you know, in his own right. And so we get to, obviously, the good dressing down by Arthur Wellesley, where you've got Simerson and you've got Sharp and you've got Lawford and they're all there. Oh, yeah, Hogan's been arrested as well because Hogan refused to blow up the bridge when Simerson told him to.
But they did blow it up.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they just took it out of Hogan's hands. And so they're all there having to answer before Wellington. And naturally, this had to be one of the things that I bookmarked to go through because it's just such an exquisite chapter.
And it is a bit different to the TV. It's one of the few bits where the TV screenwriters, I think, are better than what Cornwall wrote.
He says you lost the king's colours.
The fault was not mine, sir. Major Lennox must answer. Major Lennox answered with his life, as you should have done if you had any sense of honour. You lost the colours of the King of England. You disgraced us, sir. You shamed us, sir.
I agree. I agree.
Also agrees with that.
Yeah. But this is very good, where he says, Simerson said nothing. He was aghast at the tumult and anger that had overwhelmed him. Wellesley went on. First, Sir Henry, you had no business in taking your battalion over the bridge. It was unnecessary, time-wasting, and damned foolish. Secondly, he was ticking off on his fingers, only a fool, sir, deploys skirmishers against cavalry. Third, you have disgraced this army, which I have spent a year in the making in the face of our foes and of our allies. Fourthly, Wellesley's voice was biting hard. The only credit gained in this miserable engagement was by Lieutenant Sharp. I understand, sir, that he regained one of your lost colours, and moreover captured a French gun and used it with some effect on your attackers. Is that correct? No one spoke. Sharp stared rigidly ahead at a picture on the wall behind the general. He heard a rustle of papers. Wellesley had picked up the sheet from the desk. His voice was lower. You have lost, sir, as well as your colour, 242 men either killed or injured. You lost a major, 3 captains, 5 lieutenants, 4 ensigns and 10 sergeants. Are my figures correct? Again, no one spoke. Wellesley stood up. Your orders, sir, were those of a fool. The next time, Sir Henry, I suggest you fly a white flag and save the French the trouble of unsheathing their swords. The job you had to do, sir, could have been done by a company. I was forced by diplomacy to commit a battalion, and I sent yours, sir, so that your men would have a sight and taste of the French. I was wrong. As a result, one of our colours is now on its way to Paris to be paraded in front of the mob. Tell me if I malign you. Simerson had blanched white. Sharp had never seen Wellesley so angry. He seemed to have forgotten the presence of the others, and he directed his words at Simerson with a vengeful force. And then he goes on to talk about the fact that Sharp, as a result of all of this, is going to be gazetted as Captain Sharp in place. Like, someone has to be rewarded for the one evidence of merit in this entire disaster. Mm. Although it has to be said that, of course, this is merely Sharp being gazetted as captain. He is not officially a captain. This is not from, from horse guards. This is merely how he will be styled for now until the decision and the dispatches are sent back to horse guards and they either allow or dismiss it.
I think it's more like you're a brevet captain. It's because, I might be wrong, but once you're gazetted, that is the formal one.
Right.
You're just a brevet captain. In other words, horse guard. Wellesley can make him a captain in sort of a de facto captain for now, but it'll be up to London to actually confirm it. So, all right. And it's what Sharp believes he needs to still win an eagle in order to confirm that captaincy. So just to recap then what's happened is that Simerson led his men over the bridge stupidly, got loads of them killed, then blew the bridge up to leave the remainers there and then tried to blame it all on Sharp.
Yeah.
And Sharp was the only one who did anything good, but Hogan told Wellesley the real story.
Yes.
And so when Simerson's there trying to basically lie about what happened, Wellesley's not having any of it and gives him a dressing down and turns the South Essex into a battalion of detachments. I.e., you're not really a proper battalion anymore. We're just going to break you up and your command is, you don't really have a command anymore, essentially. And if anyone's getting a promotion out of this, it's Sharp.
Yeah.
It was the most satisfying part of the entire book, I think. As you spend the entire first half of the novel reviling this man, Simerson. Every action he takes is
everything
he says. I hate him.
Yeah.
I hate him. Yeah. Oh, he's done something. He's done more hateful things. And then as soon as he walks into that meeting going, I'm going to try and one-up Sharp here. Put all the blame on him. But luckily, as you said, Hogan's already told Wellesley the truth.
Yeah, so, and they already have a rich history together. Yeah. So Wellesley actually trusts Hogan's character in all of this as well. And the other thing to say is that Wellesley knows why Simerson is there, which is to screw things up for him and for the war effort. And so there is this constant feeling of, like, the only reason you're here is to make sure that I go home. And so Wellesley is determined to keep Simerson there, but obviously Simerson has sent his dispatches back blabbering to horse guards and trying to make Sharp look as terrible as possible.
Mm.
And the problem with all of this as well, as you were saying earlier, was the fact that this means that with all of that pressure being brought down because Sharp is a scapegoat that they're more than happy to make force of blame onto, you know, in order to preserve the pride and dignity of Sir Henry Simerson, who absolutely doesn't deserve it, of course. But all of this is going to come to a head. And now all of a sudden, this sort of like idealistic promise of gaining an eagle is not just for the honour of Lennox anymore or the honour of the regiment. It is, as we've said, so that Sharp can actually stay in the only world that he actually cares about.
Yeah. He's been in the army since he was 16.
He has no family.
He doesn't know anything else.
They are his family.
So at one point, and there's two quick things to say. Mm. One, I think this scene in the TV series when Wellesley loses his temper with Simerson is the best bit of Sharp.
I agree.
It's the best bit of any episode of
the
Sharp.
The best scene in all of Sharp.
Yeah. And in fact, the screenwriters probably do it better than Cornwell. One of the very, very few times when I can say that.
Mm.
Where he says, "You shamed us, sir. You disgraced us, sir." It's great. It's brilliant, 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 brilliant. The other thing, I said earlier on, I think there's a couple of sort of quintessential sort of liquid Sharp in this. One of them was when he says, "We all know you can fire 3 rounds a minute, but can you stand?" The other one, it's just before Sharp goes into that that meeting where Wellesley loses his temper with Simerson, is Harper says to him, "Well, what are you going to do?" And he turns to him and says, "The same thing I always do, Pat. I'll stand and fight."
Yeah.
If you could boil Sharp down to one line, it's that.
If you enjoyed this piece of premium content from the Lotus Eaters, head to our website where you can find more.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.